Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Many Christians, if they've spent much time at church, have probably heard that scripture verse. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. As a pastor, I've certainly studied that verse a lot of times. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. At the recent National Convention for Lutheran Congregations and Mission for Christ, I learned something about this passage that I didn't know before. Even though everybody knows that the verse says, go, therefore, and make disciples, Jesus never uses the verb go, which I think is kind of odd. Since I know it says it in my Bible, but the verb go is not present in the Greek that the original verse was written in when he said it. And so what does that mean? It doesn't say go. What it says is disciple. Disciple people. That's the verb. That's what it's being used there. We all know the verse, but it kind of gets the focus on the wrong word. It's not about where you're going, it's about what you're doing. Jesus told his disciples to disciple other people. What does that mean? Well, disciple to lead others to experience the promises of baptism, to teach them all about Jesus. That's what they were supposed to do. And the disciples were supposed to disciple other people as they were going, to work, as they were going home, as they went on vacation, when they were eating. Translators just use the word go to get across the idea that no matter where you go or what you do, you're called to disciple people. And yet that kind of gets lost. It seems like instead, today, Christians mostly, we kind of focus on ourselves as individuals, growing closer to Jesus personally. That's kind of our primary goal. That's why we go to church, to grow as individuals in our faith. Maybe we even go on a mission trip or go to serve at a soup kitchen, but even that's sometimes more about our experience doing it than about the people that are being helped. The truth is, we don't actually need to go anywhere weird in order to disciple to other people. However, no matter where we go or what we do, if we're not focused on discipling others, we probably won't even think about it that much. And if Jesus isn't worth talking about with the people around you, why would they think that he was someone worth committing their lives to? At the convention, I kept wondering, what can I do to help everyone here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church to focus on making disciples rather than just being disciples or becoming better disciples? How do we make that culture shift away from being focused only on ourselves as individuals, on maintaining or even growing on our faith, to focusing on other people who may be developing their own faith? A disciple-making church would be filled with disciples who make more disciples. Now, you may have heard me mention this before, but it's been a while since I've asked the question, so I'll see if you remember the answer or if you can know the answer. What is the fruit of an apple tree? An apple. Nice answer. Thank you for the audience participation. An apple, right? Wrong. Sorry. But I did sort of give you a hint. But it was the wrong hint. It's not an apple. Is an apple the goal of an apple tree? Is that the goal? Is creating an apple the purpose? Actually, no. The apple is only a tool. It's a means to an end. An apple tree wants to produce another tree. It just uses an apple to do it. Because inside this apple, there are seeds. An apple tree, the fruit of an apple tree is another apple tree. That's what it wants. It wants to reproduce. It wants to multiply. That's the goal. So The same is true for the church, Jesus says, for us as disciples, that our goal, you and I are not the final goal that Jesus has in mind. We are the means to an end. We are the means that God wants to use to share his grace and his love and his forgiveness with the rest of the world. And as you are going to where you work or where you live or where you play or where you study, you can fulfill God's purpose for you to disciple others, to bear fruit, to make disciples. And it isn't nearly as difficult, I think, as we all make it out to be. One speaker at a breakout explained that a church that's focused on disciple making would be focused more on connecting people to Jesus rather than gathering people. You know, gathering people is what we do on Sunday mornings, isn't it? We're gathering all the disciples together to strengthen our faith. And the higher the attendance, the more we gather, well, the better we feel about ourselves. but that doesn't really tell us how much or whether we are making disciples at all. Just gathering a load of apples doesn't actually mean that we are any more closer to actually planting an apple tree, does it? I mean, just gathering the apples together doesn't mean we're planting any trees anywhere. So at the speaker's church, they saw four challenges that Jesus set up for his disciples to help them become disciples who made other disciples. First, they were encouraged to come and see, to investigate what Jesus was really all about. So today, what would that look like? It might mean a non-Christian checking out church online where nobody knows that they're doing it. Just anonymously, just looking and investigating what Jesus is about. Or maybe reading a Bible that they found in a hotel room that the Gideons put there, just because they were having a hard time and they wanted to see what this Jesus guy was all about. Well, after come and see, Jesus says, follow me. And that happens when someone commits their life to Jesus through baptism or through confirmation or when they turn away from a sin in their lives that was keeping them from following Jesus completely. So next, Jesus calls his committed disciples to follow him and fish for people. The way this was expressed at the conference, I thought was really helpful. It said that means investing in other people, investing in others. Fishing for people means focusing on the spiritual lives of other people. You've committed to Jesus Christ. Now, let's help others to find him as well. When we start focusing less on our own lives and our own spiritual journeys and more on helping other people move forward on their spiritual journeys, well, then we've started to get a glimpse of what this challenge is all about. Then church isn't really about feeding ourselves anymore. It's about gaining the tools and the motivation to feed others with a spiritual food that can not only help them have an abundant life here on earth, but most importantly, can give them that eternal life. So in the last day's Bible study at this convention, the leader spoke about the CEO model of the church, which I also had never heard of before. But they said most churches act like the congregation is the customer. That would be all of you. And then who's the employee? Well, that would be me, primarily. And God is the owner of the church. So God's the owner, I'm the employee, y'all are the customers. But instead, a disciple-making church would see it very differently. God would obviously still be the owner of the church, but the employees would be all of us, including me, but all of you too. And the customers? Well, the customers would be people who didn't know Jesus, people who are outside of the church, who are not committed followers of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the last challenge of Jesus, which was to bear fruit, to multiply. And we don't do this by trying to take someone from being an atheist to being a committed follower of Jesus Christ. That would be pretty difficult to do all on our own, obviously. We ask God to show us people who are already interested and yearning for hope or for help in the world. And then walking alongside those people until we can speak that hope into their life or give them help in some meaningful way. Making disciples isn't going to affect our salvation one way or the other. Remember that. Making disciples, we've already committed to Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith in Jesus alone. That was like step two. After come and see was follow me. We're on like step four, which is multiplying. Making disciples isn't going to get you to heaven any faster, and not making enough disciples isn't going to keep you out either, because making disciples isn't about you at all. Making disciples is about the people that you love and that you serve. The joy we have from Jesus overflows into the lives of other people so that they might see what we've got and that's something that they want in their lives as well. So that they might see that there is something more to this life than just what they can see with their own two eyes, but that there is something that can last not just here, but for eternally. In other words, you don't have to sell Jesus like a used car salesman, try to hide the parts that you don't really like, this kind of thing, try to make people believe that it's something they really want. Nope. You serve the needs of those people that God has put into your life, just like a doctor provides medicine to the people who come to him who need help. We say, you know what, I'm not the doctor. The great physician is Jesus Christ, and he's got something that you might really be able to use. So who does God call to be his disciples? Well, he called fishermen, shepherds, a tax collector. He didn't call the professional religious class like pastors. In fact, he often didn't have very nice things to say about people like me who were professional religious people. He called normal people to be his disciples. He would have called someone like you. Because it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And you know Jesus, and you probably know someone who needs to know Jesus already. And these conversations are most likely going to happen when you go out of this place, when you go to work, where you go, wherever you live, and where you study, and where you play. And most of the time, that's, like I said, probably not here at church. It's going to be harder to find those people that come on a Sunday morning. It's outside of the church where we're going to find them. In other words, you don't have to be a pastor to do this stuff, even though I am also called to do this stuff, just like the rest of you. So in order to be a disciple who makes other disciples, growing in your relationship to God, well, that's going to be helpful through worship, devotions, prayer. And growing in your relationships with other Christians, that's also going to be helpful for mutual encouragement and accountability and support. But finally, we all must grow in our relationships with people outside of the church, people who aren't committed disciples to Jesus. Right now, I believe here at Emmanuel, we do a pretty good job of worshiping God, I think. And we do a pretty good job of supporting one another in our Christian life. We feel like we're growing in that way. But in our relationships with people who are not Christians, I would bet that most of us, we haven't really considered the spiritual opportunities that they present. Is it possible that someone that you know already might have some spiritual questions in their life? Is it possible? Is it possible that someone you know already might just need someone to pray with them? Maybe, just maybe. If someone asked you why you are a Christian this week, where you work, where you live, where you study, where you play, if somebody asked you why you're a Christian, could you give them an answer, a brief answer, not my whole sermon, but a brief answer about why Jesus matters to you? Because if you can't, that's your assignment for next week. So one of the other questions they asked was, who is discipling me? Ask yourself this question. Who's discipling me and who am I discipling? Is there someone who right now in your life helps you to grow in your relationship to Jesus, because you want to cherish that relationship. Cherish the time that you have with that person. And if you don't have someone, ask someone who you respect and who you trust to do that very thing. Help you to grow. Help to hold you accountable. Help to motivate you in your relationship with Jesus. Because in order to be good disciples, in order to make disciples, we have got to continue being good disciples ourselves. But finally, and I think this is a helpful question, who are you discipling? Maybe you already are working with someone to help them know Jesus. That's great. But don't be in a rush, okay? Because this is going to take some time, this discipling process. Jesus took 12 men and worked with them for 3 years. That was his timeline at the moment. Remember, this is about making connections and developing relationships, not just about increasing Sunday morning attendance. But if you don't know of anyone, can't think of anyone you're currently discipling right now, I would ask you to please pray that God would provide you with someone to disciple, help you to see that that's the person that you were meant to help. Because we have the opportunity to share with others not only someone who will give them life, an abundant life, but also the hope of eternal life, that we might share that with everyone and share that with them forever. So my prayer for our church is to become more than just a gathering of disciples on Sunday mornings. I pray that at the end of the service, when I say something like, go in peace and serve the Lord, that what you know, what you hear, is that means that we are called to go and make disciples. Amen.